Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 5, we were talking about the church extending forgiveness to those who have sinned, but not until they have repented. Let's continue with that discussion today.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
You see, the more we discern the Father's interests, the greater our confidence when we come to Him in prayer. Again, don't overstate what the verse is teaching. If we were to think verse 15 is a blanket statement for all physical sicknesses, then no one should die in our churches. And if they do, it's because our elders do not have faith. So, again, be careful of making blanket statements out of the context of which the book was written. Now notice, if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And notice, the word is plural, sins. However, plural also has the idea of continual. Now not all sicknesses are a result of a particular sin in a person's life. But in this case, we have the Greek word for sin is hamartia, and has the idea of evil. This context then lends itself that the sickness the person has, which may be weariness, which may be an actual physical malady or some mental thing, may be a result of sin. And it could even be sin against the church, or an injury to the public testimony of the church. It may be as Ananias, who did despite to the integrity of the local church. It could be that person who, on the job, in the restaurant, in other areas, have ran down their preacher, ran down their church, and said things against it and evil about it. And as a result, people hearing that, and has hurt the testimony of the church. And now, God has brought this into their life. And Paul said, when there are people that are living in immorality, to deliver them to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. This would also call for the elders of the church to forgive from the standpoint of the church. When we have sinned against others, it needs to be made right with them and not just God. Remember Jesus saying, leave your gift at the altar. You go and you make it right with the other person. Now, God forgives, and so should we. But God forgives when a man repents. Now, we don't just say, okay, listen, we'll act like nothing happened. No, a person needs to repent. If is what brings in the context of the local church and the idea of the conditions being met. And if he has committed sin, if it is against the local church, if he confesses these sins and makes it right. Okay, that is the condition. Don't miss that the thing that has this man down, from which he needs to be raised up, may be the weariness of the guilt from his sin. The reason healing may not occur today, with many cases, is that the conditions of verses 14 through 16 are simply not met. Now, don't miss that the elders are called, not men with gifts of healing. This does not mean that our sins will not have consequences. If our foolishness ends up with the amputation of our leg, the elders can come and pray for him, and he can be forgiven. But the leg is not going to miraculously grow back. Now we continue on and look here at James chapter 5 and verse 16, because it carries out this thought in praying for the sick. He says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now notice that there are two admonitions, confess and pray. The confessing of our faults speaks of our own faults, not to tell others what their faults are. Did you get that? Confessing our faults is our faults, not to tell others what their faults are. This also includes the thought of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, where we read, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Now, confess is not enough. Okay? We must also forsake them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." You see, if we would judge ourselves, we'd just handle that sin and confess it and forsake it. Then we wouldn't have this chastening that so often comes into our lives, because we will not confess and forsake the sin that so easily besets us. When we are confessing our faults, we not only admit them, we forsake them. The faults must be confessed to God and the ones that we have sinned against. Remember Zacchaeus? He said, "I will restore fourfold to anybody I've taken from them anything, and I will also give half my goods to feed the poor." Do what you can to right all your wrongs. You can't right all of your wrongs, I know that. But there are wrongs that stand out in your mind. There are wrongs that you know about, and set out to make those things right. Our faults may be intellectual, they may be mental, or faults of the spirit, as jealousy, pride, selfishness. When those things lead to sin against another, they need to be confessed, and they need to be confessed to the person that we have sinned against. Now, let me caution. There are groups that used to confess. For an example, they'd get together and they would say, "Oh, I had a dirty thought. I had a lustful thought about you this week," or something like that. That is not good, because that is not something that was carried out physically. That was only in the mind. So understand, this is referring to offenses and trespasses physically manifested against someone. It may be gossip. It may be a lie. It may be scorning. It may be cheating. But it is something like that. It can be something that we promised God that we would do and we haven't done that yet. And I hope one of those things that you haven't done yet that this will convict you and make you do is to write this radio ministry and give us your word of encouragement. Now, the word pray here in verse 16 of James 5 is in the continual tense. Don't just pray that time you confess. Continue to pray one for another. Now notice the conditions for prayer. It needs to be effectual. It needs to be fervent. It needs to be righteous. If you just confess to a person and pray for them at that time you confess, chances are the devil will get back into your mind just like he did with Saul against David and start working against that person again. Pray for that person daily, and it'll keep you from going back to the same sin about that person. Now, effectual prayers are prayers with results. "You have not because you ask not," we found out in chapter 4. But we must be righteous and not ask amiss. You see, too much praying is our will be done, not God's will. And so the conditions for prayer, effectual and then fervent. Fervent comes from the Greek word energio. We get our English word energy from it. And it means to prove oneself strong. The only way we prove ourselves strong in prayer is by praying in the Holy Spirit. We're told to forgive. If we have an unforgiving spirit, then we cannot be strong in prayer. Now again, the person needs to repent, okay? The forgiveness begins in our heart, but it's not given to the person until they repent. However, if they come to us in repentance, then since it's already in our heart, then it's easy to extend that forgiveness to them. And we need to always be willing and ready to forgive in heart. The word prayer in this part is a specific Greek word that has the idea of specific prayer. Praying for healing and forgiveness in the matter. The man must be righteous. You see, a righteous man obeys the Lord. Righteousness basically is to do the commands of the Lord. Righteousness relates to actions being carried out. Holiness refers to the heart and as we develop on the inside. And so that relates as it affects our actions. Righteous men will pray regularly. Righteous men will read the Bible regularly. Righteous men will witness regularly. Righteous men will go to church regularly. Righteous men will invite others to church regularly. The righteous man will conduct his business and his affairs honestly. Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. We are righteous when we live according to the word of God, and as a result, God hears prayer. When he does this, it availeth much. That is, it produces many results. If we are unwilling to meet the conditions, the calling of the elders is a wasted effort and time. Back there in verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Well, if the elders aren't righteous and they don't meet these conditions, then it is wasted time and effort. That is why if you call for someone to pray, make sure they are righteous people and not just elders. Now, after seeing prayer power for the sick, let's next see prayer power for the saints in verses 17 and 18. And there we read, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Don't miss that God is illustrating what he told us in verse 15, that the Lord will raise him up. It was not the power of Elijah. It was God who did the work. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible. sense.